Okay, well, I was compelled today to debunk something in our world and our lives. If you listen to music, if you listen to pop philosophers, read popular magazines, watch TV and movies, one of the great messages they all agree upon is follow your heart. And that is one of the great lies perpetrated on the world today. And it sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds really great. First of all, what does it really mean? I bet if you asked each of those people that says it, they'd all disagree and have a different definition of what it means, what the heart is, and what it means to follow your heart. There would be a myriad of definitions. I looked up myriad. It comes from the Greek word murios, which is translated 10,000 in the Bible, by the way. Just a little extra there. Okay, so turn to Jeremiah. We have to see what God says about the heart, which is quite a bit. We could spend about 3 weeks just looking at all the different places where the word heart is used and how it's used and the context and all that kind of stuff. But there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17. I tell you 17?
Yep.
Okay, verse 9. I have to be there. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Wow. The heart is deceitful. It's such a general statement about the heart and desperately wicked. The ESV translates this verse and the next verse, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways." And it goes on from there. Reward everyone according to his doings. That's pretty wild. Now, this was written to the tribe of Judah, back at a time when Judah had turned their back on God, right? But we know throughout all the history of the Bible, it's always been a matter of people's heart and where it was. You know, way back in the beginning with Noah, it says that man's heart was continually evil in its imaginations. So, so here it says Judah had departed from God. If we look at verse 5, it says, well, verse 1, it's talking to Judah, it tells us that. Verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And that's the context of it. You know, it's not just that man's heart is desperately wicked, but it's when man trusts in man and his heart departs from God. That's the key. You know, when our heart is given to God, then it's a different story. Then it's not wicked. But when it departs from God, no matter how nice it may look, how sweet it may look, how philanthropic or charitable, it's evil. That's the way it is. Sometimes, you know, things are pretty cut and dry. So this gives us greater insight. The heart of man that puts his trust in man and allows his heart to depart from God, he's in trouble. To put it a very simple way, he's in trouble. But you know, it sounds so good when people say, well, just follow your heart. Mm-hmm. Well, if you follow that through, what is the heart? We know, well, what does it say in Proverbs? That the issues of life come out of the heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's an issue of life for somebody? An issue of the heart for the Nazis in World War II was to slaughter people and kill them. Or, you know, many different groups of people at times have done things like, or to enslave other people. I'm sure serial killers do it from their heart. I mean, that's their heart. You know, that's what they want to do. They follow their heart. That's the issue of their life. That's what motivates them, what moves them. So it's a crazy, stupid statement that nobody thinks about, but everybody thinks, oh, that's so wonderful. If you really want to be successful and happy in life, follow your heart. So let's go to Psalm 119. But God tells us what to do with our heart. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 80. And here the psalmist says, everybody there? The psalmist says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Wow, the word sound means complete or whole or perfect, without blemish. That's pretty good. It's in God's statutes, in God's word. When we put God's word in our heart, it makes our heart whole. It makes it healthy and complete, without blemish. Let's look at verse 11 of 119. Everybody knows, or most people know this verse probably, but it says, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's a pretty good verse there. You know, when you have God's word hidden in your heart, sin doesn't become an issue. It's only when you don't have his word in your heart that it becomes an issue. That's when we get distracted. That's when we get tempted. That's when we, you know, go off the tracks. To follow one's heart could mean anything and lead a person anywhere. And when it's not with God's word, it's usually not a very good place. You know, people that are sold out to making money, they're following their heart, aren't they? You know, that's all they care about. That's all they think about. I've known some people like that. You know, that's their measure of everything, money, position, so on and so forth. Let's go to Psalm 14. This is a great verse. Everybody probably knows this one, or a lot of you know it. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, we've all heard that thing about where somebody says, it says in the Bible, there is no God. You know, they quote it out of context, right? But what does it say? The fool saith in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You know, when people don't have God, they really don't have any restraints on their life. They don't have any restraints on their thinking. And therefore, they have no restraints on their life. So if they talk about morals and ethics, their ethics and morals don't have a sound base. They don't have a standard for truth. They don't have, it's kind of like a sliding scale. Whatever works at the given moment, that's what they use. That's what they rely on. And so those morals or ethics are usually corrupted and perverted. We see it all the time today. In our society, right? Everywhere. Let's go to Psalm 36. Of course, you go through Psalms, and the word heart is everywhere, as it is in Proverbs. And I have a lot of them marked in my other Bible, so it's easy for me to find it. I just put an H next to the verse, and then I know it's a heart verse. Psalm 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. You know, the wicked, there is no fear of God. No, Now, that could be both. There's no respect of God, there's no awe of God, and there's no fear of judgment, of retribution. Now, if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in the judgment. What a surprise they're going to get. No fear before God, of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. You know, how many things in the Bible does it talk about that are evil and wrong and yet today are accepted in our society? You know, you could make a pretty long list. You can't almost watch a movie or a TV show where they don't push homosexuality. I mean, just everywhere. They push it in everything. All the time. They push it in schools. Yet, it's absolutely wrong. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. You know, he doesn't have any interest in being wise or doing good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Well, that's a pretty good description of man without God and his word in his life. You know, and, you know, a lot of times these people may appear really wonderful, really, you know, they write all these wonderful sounding songs or really cool, interesting books, or, you know, they make all these crazy movies, and but if it's wrong, it's wrong, right? If it's not God's word, it doesn't have truth in it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I don't even need to turn there. I know these verses backwards and forwards. But chapter 4, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. What a great thing. Let thine heart retain my words. Then in verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them where? In the midst of thine heart, his words, his sayings. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with what?
All diligence.
All diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That's a great thing to remember and always live by. Keep your heart with diligence. What does that mean? You know, we know the heart to be the very center of our life, right? The deepest part of our minds. Well, what do we put into our minds? What do we allow in? What do we hold there? What do we keep there? What's important? You know. Well, it says here that we are to keep that heart with all diligence. All diligence. You know, make the very best effort to guard that heart, to keep it. That's what the word keep means. Keep, guard your heart. Guard it. It's you know, valuable, right? Your heart is valuable. You know, not just the, you know, there must be a reason why God used the word heart for the innermost part of our being, our mind, and it's, you know, that vital organ that makes everything work, that gives us life, you know, keeps beating. You know, you guard your heart when soldiers fight or in the old days they put on armor. One of the things they guarded was their heart, right? And in life, we know that your heart is a very important organ to the body, and everybody wants to have a healthy heart. So, but what about the heart of our minds? It's just as important to our life as our physical heart. Maybe more so. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. What's it talking about? In God's word, right? In his sayings. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, that's all part of keeping our heart with diligence. You know, watch what you say with your mouth and your lips. Let your eyes look on what? The right things, God's word. Ponder the path, you know. Let your ways be established by God's word. And turn not to the right or the left. What a great thing to know. Let's go to Ephesians. The great part about Psalms and Proverbs, it is the Old Testament, but it's, you know, general knowledge. A lot of it is general knowledge on how to live life. And those verses on the heart are just as applicable to us as they were in the Old Testament, just as applicable to us as being born again as it is to those people back in the old time when they had to obey the law, right? It's still God's word. We have a more tremendous word written to us in the sense that we are children of God, but still God's word. Ephesians 3, verse 14. This is a prayer. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, by revelation, is saying, "I pray to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." He wants us to have Christ dwelling in our hearts. You know, what does that mean? Well, we have, you know, what Christ did for us, what he accomplished for us, and our relationship with him should be in our hearts. You know, who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ. What a great thing. Chapter 5. Verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Well, that's pretty cool. You know, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, a melody in your heart to the Lord. And that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and all he did for us and what we are in him and who we are in him. It's just, then it says, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, when you're happy and making a melody in your heart, it's easy to be thankful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We're to be thankful in everything all the time. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. "Be careful for nothing," or "be anxious for nothing," is what the word careful means. It could even more accurately be translated, "be distracted by anything." but in everything, by prayer and supplication is specific requests, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So back in Proverbs it said, keep your hearts with all diligence. Well, here's one of the ways that we keep it with all diligence, right? Is we're going to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and we make all our requests known unto him, and God's peace keeps our heart. It guards our heart through Christ Jesus. That's pretty great. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. No. It'll be all right. We're almost done. Chapter 3, verse 15. This is really a great verse. You know, one of the great things about God's Word, it gives you really all the answers to life. And sometimes we struggle with things because we try to do it ourselves, we try to figure it out, or we don't go back and get quiet and reflect on what God tells us. You know, we'd be better off taking the time out. You know, sometimes we're in such a rush to do stuff or take care of stuff. Here it says, let the peace of God, verse 15, chapter 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Wow, what a great thing. You know, God wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to be not upset, not in anguish or worrying or freaked out. He wants the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Again, you know, when we go to him in prayer and thankfulness, what did he say? He keeps our hearts. Here it says, let it rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, singing with grace in your hearts, making a melody, singing. And we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then we speak it to one another. What does it mean when it says, you know, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, you know, speaking the word to one another, reminding each other of God's word and what he does for us and how he exhorts us and encourages us. How beautiful is that? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the word God is not in the Greek. It's actually the word Christ. So it should be sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. What does that mean? What does it mean to sanctify? It means to put it apart, right? It's a special thing that should be in your heart. We put Christ in our heart. We have a special place for him there. And that's, you know, again, everything that it entails, what he did for us, his sacrifice, his resurrection, what he accomplished and what we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. How great is that? Well, let's go to Matthew. Chapter 22. Verse 37. I passed over it twice. Here we go. So this is where the chapter 22, verse 37. I'll wait for you. Okay. This is where the lawyer spoke to Jesus Christ in verse 36. He says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. With all thy heart and with all thy soul, love God. Well, that's really guarding your heart, isn't it? When you love God with all your heart, you're thinking about him, you're thinking about Jesus Christ, and you know, all that entails, and putting God's word into your mind and into your heart. That's what we are to do. So, you know, we don't follow our heart just blindly, but what do? We put God's word in our heart, and then we allow God's word and God to direct our heart. And that's what we follow. We follow God's word. Then our heart will be great. Then our hearts will be unblemished and healthy and sound and whole. Okay? So, amen.